Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Will you look at those morons? I paid my taxes over a year ago.
Dad, that was last year's taxes. You have to pay again this year.
No, because you see, I went ahead and year-wise, I was counting forward from the last previous... So, oh! Marge, how many kids do we have? Oh, no time to count. I'll just estimate. 9. Okay, I need some deductions. Deductions. Okay, Marge, if anyone asks, you require 24-hour nursing care. Lisa's a clergyman. Maggie has 7 people, and Bart was wounded in Vietnam.
Homer, you know we don't have...
Shut up, shut up. If I don't hear you, it's not illegal.
Tomorrow's tax day. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, our text line. We're taking your text messages, and we're going to talk to this next guy for advice. Lewis Sands is on the phone with us. Lewis, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Good morning, guys.
Hey, man, I'm getting so many text messages about people. You know, I feel like tax day snuck up on a lot of people this year, even though we know it's the same date every year, especially me. We're usually done easily by the end of February, and this year I just sent my wife a text. She's like, the taxes are done, everything's been sent electronically yesterday.
Oh, perfect. See, and you've got days to spare, so no problem.
So when is the deadline this year?
Sneak up on everybody, you know, it just seems to sneak up on everybody every year, and that's just par for the course, so we're used to it.
Well, so when's the deadline? It's not tomorrow. When is it?
It's actually Tuesday, the 18th.
Got it. All right, Tuesday the 18th.
And that's because everyone thinks April 15th, it falls on a Saturday. So then you would think, well, okay, Monday is the 17th, but it's actually a holiday in Washington, D.C., so we get an extra day on top of that. So we try not to tell too many of our clients that, because then they'll take those extra days.
Give people a few extra days, they'll take a few extra days. They will do that. Before we get to the questions, people are sending us text questions right now at 312-981-7200. For people that are halfway done with their taxes, haven't done their taxes, the extension. Can you talk about that?
Sure. And that's, you know, that's pretty much what's happening at this point, right? When we're in the 11th hour, there's no reason to. Yeah, I was laughing out loud at the play-in with the Simpsons, but trust me, we've seen that sort of panicking, and it's not the end of the world to extend. People seem to think that I'll get audited or whatnot. You won't. You know, if you can't get your taxes done, if you don't have all your information, you file an extension, and you've got 6 months to get your return in. Now, the only caveat on that is it's extension of time to file, not an extension of time to pay. So if you think you're going to owe money, you have to try and give your best guess, and you have to pay it in with that. If you think you're getting money back, well, then you're just hurting yourself, and just file the extension and get your ducks in a row.
Do you still have to file an extension if you're getting money back?
Well, I mean, yes, technically, you have to file an extension, because otherwise the return is late. But then the penalties and the interest, right, that's the hammer on filing late, is a percentage of what you owe. So if you're getting money back, then you won't get a penalty on that. But it's a good idea to file it on time. I mean, why wouldn't you? If you're getting money back, if you can't get your information together, you should at least file an extension. It's literally just a piece of paper. There's no fear associated with it. Get your stuff in and get your money back.
What's a main deduction that people miss? I feel like we're doing things all the time that could be deducted, but we don't tell our tax guy that, hey, I do this.
Well, and that's an excellent question. And the thing is, we have people, the flip side is true. We have people that are constantly trying to take things that are deductions that just aren't. But some of the things that are commonly missed are just from a deduction standpoint are, you know, your medical expenses, your charitable contributions, your meals and entertainment expense. I mean, it people think tax deductions, they think it's got to be something that's unpleasant. If you're a business lunch or you know, if you've got, you know, if you're doing something charitable, you get to deduct. There are certain expenses that you get to deduct for that. Business travel, these sorts of things. You just have to be careful, because the things that are quote unquote enjoyable are oftentimes the things that are scrutinized and often abused. So, you know, if it's a legitimate expense, you know, mileage associated with business travel, you take it, but just be careful, because you know if you abuse it, that's a red flag for audit.
So if I went across the street right now and bought Pete McMurray a coffee, could I deduct that?
Absolutely, because you would never do that if it weren't for business purposes.
Right. Well, I mean, we're doing business right now.
What about for salespeople out there? They have to wear a suit. How come you can't deduct your business attire?
Because the IRS says that you can't. Because, I mean, business attire, dry cleaning, right? I mean, if you
dry cleaning, my wife, God, I'd be a millionaire by now.
Yes, Yes, and again, it fits perfectly within what you would logically think would be a deduction, but
right.
Nothing is deductible unless the IRS specifically says that it is, and there have been court cases and regulations. It's a complete open and shut case. You cannot deduct not only your business clothes, your suit, your dry cleaning, your actual commute to and from work, which couldn't be more tied to work than driving to work. You're not allowed to deduct those miles either. If you drive to work, nope. But then once you're in work, if you drive around, you know, hitting a couple of different meetings and things, that's deductible. But your commute is not even a deduction. It's just easy answers because the rules say it's not allowable.
What about a percentage of your tires if you're a salesperson?
Well, I mean, as a percentage of your tires, I would say back up on that and just to go to the actual auto expense in general,
okay.
Right? If it's your business car, your gas, your oil, your tires, for sure, your routine.
Well, it's your personal car, but you're using it for business.
Well, then that's you're right on the right track with that. You need to have good records of how much, what percentage you're using for business versus personal. Easy examples: if it's 50-50, then take then half the miles, half the costs, half the tires, half the oil. That's a deductible expense.
See, but nobody actually keeps those records, and everybody I think just eyeballs those. How much danger are you in if you're just eyeballing? Well, I think I traveled X amount of miles, or I had this many, whatever. How much gas? The whole thing. Like nobody has those.
If you
receipts.
Get audited, you're going to have to make up those receipts. You're going to have to make up that log in your car.
Can I let the experts know that it's okay?
Well, first of all, if you were one of our clients, we would suggest that you would already have all those records, and, mm-hmm. All your ducks would be in a row. But I mean, the danger with anything is if you're getting audited, obviously that's the big fear everybody has, is I don't want to get audited. If you're telling the truth, you know, all audit is an inconvenience. You just proving that what you've done, you know, whether it be a charitable contribution or any of these sorts of things, but you know in advance that you're going to potentially need to support that. There's nothing that you attach to your tax return to support it. If the IRS comes in and asks for support for your 70,000 miles of business travel, if you're not able to show it, well, then the worst thing that can happen is they'll disallow the deduction, and you'll have to pay the taxes that
right.
saved you. Yeah.
Lewis Sands on the phone with us. Lewis, hold on a second. We're going to check traffic and we'll get to everyone's questions. 312-981-7200. Lewis Sands on the phone with us.
I'm a tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. 7/21. Tax day is tomorrow. You have the extension until Tuesday. On the phone with us, he is a CPA. It is Lewis Sands. You can go to Sikich, SIKICH.com for information on getting a hold of Lewis. Lewis, you ready for some questions?
Let her rip.
All right. 312-981-7200 if you have questions for Lewis. What if I can't pay all of what I owe by the due date?
Pay what you can, because, like I said, you should pay something. Well, first of all, let me back up. You should definitely file still, right? Because there's any number of penalties and interests that you can incur. One is late payment, late filing, and underpayment. So that's three different things. You might as well minimize it. If you can file on time, pay what you can, and then any penalties and interest will be on the difference. And then, you know, the IRS is certainly, you know, willing to take payments over. If you send another check in next month, they'll cash it, and you know there'll be small interest. But it's you know, you're going to end up having to pay it, but it's not worth, you know, going out and putting a third mortgage on your home or anything like that. It's not the end of the world, but just understand it's a debt that you've got to pay. But you know, over time is better than not at all. But pay as much as you can.
I sold my house this year. What can I deduct on my taxes?
Well, if you sold your house, first and foremost, you'd want to have a very good, make sure you report it. Most people, as a general rule, can't claim any taxes if they had a gain on the sale of their house. If you lost money, if you bought it for $400 and sold it for $300, you don't get to deduct the depreciation in value. But if you're single, the first $250,000 is not taxable. And if you're married, that's a $500,000 gain. So if you bought it, like in my example, for $400 and you're married and you sold it for $900, you don't have to pick up any of that tax. There's still a form where you'd want to report that, just so that, you know, the IRS is aware of it. In addition, you'll want to take a very close look at the closing documents, any closing costs, any prepaid real estate taxes need to be accounted for on your tax return, and the sorts of things that transfer fees, all of this is either deductible or ends up on your tax return one way or another, and you just want to make sure that it's accurate.
Can I deduct driving miles if I drive over 50 miles each way? For example, if I drive 100 miles each way, can I claim 100 miles at 54 cents per mile?
Well, when I hear each way, I'm thinking that the second half of that is to work. No, you can't deduct any of your commuting expenses. You know, so that's a long drive, but I think the mileage rate is correct, but your to and from work is not deductible mileage expense.
Could you imagine if you could deduct that? People that commute from the suburbs. It's crazy
would it
stuff.
Would it be worth it? That's a lot of time in the car, though.
What can you write off? I mean, it's always a slippery slope. What can you write off for the normal person? Can you rattle off a few things? Of course, miles. Car repair to a certain extent?
Well, sure. You know, and the sorts of things that, you know, if you just think about it, very little is deductible. It's your mortgage, your mortgage expense,
right?
Your real estate taxes, your charitable contributions, your medical expenses. But these are the sorts of things that are deductible. But they have to exceed certain thresholds before for medical expenses, for example. They're deductible, but only to the extent that they exceed 10% of your adjusted gross income. So if you've got health insurance, it's very uncommon
right.
someone to have, you know. But some things to remember, you know, obviously we live in Illinois. If you're making contributions to, you know, the 529 plans or something like that, that's deductible on your state return. There's certain school related expenses where if you have to pay fees and K-12 expenses, a lot of times people miss those expenses, and that's something that, you know, it's not life changing, but if you're entitled to it, you should take it, and you save $3.75 for every $100 that you spend. You'll take it, and it's just the sort of thing where it's important just to keep track. We find that the biggest number that of in terms of expenses that people don't get is their unreimbursed business expenses. That means, you know, your union dues, right, your fees associated, professional publications, things expenses that you're incurring to do your job that are not reimbursed by your employer. Again, as you talked about earlier, you'll want to keep decent records of that, but that certainly adds up. I mean, over the course of a year, it can be, you know, several thousand dollars. And you know, I don't want to minimize mileage, because even 1,000 miles, which is not a lot of business driving at 54 cents, is, you know, and it's typically a lot more than 1,000 miles. It adds up. So that's really where we see a lot of money left on the table, is people don't spend money just to get a deduction. That's because, at worst case,
right,
you're going to save 40 cents on the dollar. Well, you're already spending it.
Lewis, for people that are listening right now that already did their taxes and suddenly they thought of something that they forgot to deduct, what do they do? Because I just thought of something, because union dues, I'm a member of SAG-AFTRA and I pay in, and I forgot to list that this year.
Well, and again, what you can do, you're always within your rights. The statute of limitations on a tax return is 3 years. So you've got 3 years to go back, and what you can do is amend the return. And you just got to, you know, internally try and determine whether or not it's worth it, right? If it's a dollar, you don't go back and do it. If it's $1,000, well, then maybe you do. And you just go back and your 1040, the amended return is a 1040X, and you just file that. You make your changes, and if you're going to get more money back and it's worthwhile for you, then you do so. And that's the short answer. And then, of course, once that happens, if it changes, now a deduction, it won't change your Illinois return, but if it were a number, you know, we see all the time, that's one of the biggest mistakes people make, is they just forget things. They're a 1099 or something like that. And you know, you can only, it happens all the time. All you can do is your best, and if you have to go back and amend the return, always don't forget about Illinois as well.
Okay. Mary, do you have something?
I do. So already for next year's taxes, I've gotten some receipts for some charity stuff we've donated to, and I just put everything in a folder. But is there an app or anything that to keep these things digitally so I'm not doing this
archaic? So you can take
a
picture of the receipt?
Yeah. I just feel like this folder is an old-fashioned way of doing
we
it.
We do the same thing. We have a folder in our kitchen.
That's exactly where it's at. It's like, I feel like there should be a better, I don't know, more real system.
A better system.
Right. And again, first and foremost, the fact that you're even thinking about 2017 taxes in 2017 puts you at the top of the heap, and that's the sort of, at least keep it. In terms of an app, there's not any one app that, necessarily I would advise over any other. If you wanted, if you want to go digital with it, I mean, please, we still get the shoebox full of receipts. If someone were to give us a thumb drive instead, you know, take a picture of it, take a, you know, if it's the sort of thing where you can just scan it in, you know, if you've got, you know, scanners or something like that.
Yeah,
then just do that and save it all in a folder, and then when it comes time for CPA tax time, just forward that, and in most cases that's going to suffice. Just again, make sure it's secure. You know, you don't want to have your personal identification
take a picture
out, over the cloud. Yeah, sure.
Tax folder for photos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that works.
Hey, when the IRS comes after your clients, what are they normally coming after them for? Why do these people get flagged?
Typically, I mean, that's an excellent question, and it's less than 1% of all people get audited, and of all of them, only less than 1% of those make less than $200,000. So if we knew exactly what the IRS what flagged them, we would be doing a lot better. We'd be billionaires. Right? But as a general rule, the more money you make, you know, because there's limited resources. So they're, instead of coming after me, they'll come after, you know, someone that makes a lot more money, like Pete or someone else, because if they find something, it's going to be much more worth their while. But what they're looking for and is things that are often abused, right? So if you've got a home office deduction, if you're chair, and it's all diagnostic. So if someone makes $100,000, they know that on average that's, pick a number, $3,000 of charitable contributions. If you make $100,000 and you've got $33,000 of charitable contributions, that's standard deviation of 3 away from the norm. They have programs that'll flag certain things and say, well, this person's got an awful lot more deductions than someone else that normally makes that kind of income. That's going to get you some attention. You know, any international filings, household employees, if you've got nannies or housekeepers that, you know, that you maybe you're paying under the table. Hobby losses, if you're an avid, you know, if you like horses and you've got a horse and you're throwing a lot of those expenses through and saying that you're a trainer, those are the sorts of things that the IRS typically goes after, because they typically get money back from it.
Lewis Sands, you can go to Sikich, SIKICH.com. Lewis, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys.